yeah, we were gone this last, I don't know, a little over a week and that sort of thing, and went to see my parents and relatives and that sort of thing. And so we kind of do our Christmas around that time, because if you know anything about flights, you know, they like triple them, you know, as you get anywhere near Christmas. And so about the third day we were there, or actually the second day we were there, my grandmother became very, very sick. And then Josiah did, and then I did. Sherry wasn't doing well. And so that was the absolute worst time away I've ever had in my entire life. And still, even as of yesterday, I was about 60%. So I'm just going to forewarn you, okay? If you've ever wondered, is this a 60% kind of message, you know? And I'm sure you've wondered that often. I can guarantee you it will be, and I'm going to give you my best. But even as of yesterday, someone sent me a text message, and they said, how you doing? And I said, I don't care about anyone or anything. And they were like, well, okay, you know? And I didn't. I mean, I just felt terrible. I looked at Sherry, and I said, am I in depression? I've never felt this before. And I was like, do I need to go to the doctor? I've never been this sick, never felt like this before. And today, I feel a whole lot better. But the last week and a half have been, did not enjoy it. When I did get sick, I haven't had a sickness like that where, you know, okay, from out of your mouth, you know what I'm talking about, okay? Since I was probably 10, I don't know, something like that. And so I ended up yelling for this dude named Ralph, like at 3 o'clock in the morning. Do you know who Ralph is? Okay. The noise you make. Okay, all right, making sure you're with me. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, it freaked Sherry out. She'd never heard me sick before. The weird thing was, you know, like you move away from your parents, you know, all that other stuff, but we're still in their house. My dad had to clean it all up for an hour, yeah, at 3 o'clock in the morning. So I'm like, welcome home, Dad. You know, I'm back. So it was a rough go. So I am limping along. But I want to celebrate Christmas with you guys and have some fun this morning talking about God's Word and the gift that He gave us in Jesus. We're in Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 37. That is on page 873 there in the Bibles in front of you. Guys, Michael, can we get some more light? I think maybe out there, because it's going to be really tough for them to read, because I know it's a little bit dark even for me. Thanks, Adam. Appreciate it. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 37 is where we're going to be. Merry Christmas to everyone. I hope you have a great one, and I hope that your joy is not found in presence, but in the presence of Jesus, okay? And that's both ways, the present of Jesus and the presence of Jesus. And I hope that that's where you find it this year and not in the gifts. I think those are good. I think that it's healthy and it's a good reminder. But please don't raise your families where it's all about that. Okay, make sure that you help them understand that we have a responsibility to understand why are we doing this, and that is critical as we move forward. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 37, here's what it says. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will receive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she's now in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." And I wanted us to just talk about birth this morning, and for that to kind of be our focus. I remember back to when, a little over 2 years ago, just barely 2 years ago, just a little over that, that Josiah was to be born. And I remember us getting the bag ready, you know, and, okay, when this happens, this is what we're going to do, and this is going to be our game plan. And we would call my parents so that they could get a flight in time to maybe make it, you know, for the delivery, or at least be, you know, fairly close. And so we had all these plans made, and we had just moved into our home in Lakewood. Josiah wasn't due for another 3 weeks. Somewhere around that time, we had been there 1 week. And that night, I remember Sherry getting up. The first week we were there, Sherry getting up and, you know, just kind of walking around in the middle of the night. And I don't know about you, but someone just walking around in the middle of the night, it's a little annoying, you know. And so I was, you know, in the dark, I go, Sherry? And she goes, yeah. And I was like, something going on I need to know about? No, I'm just kind of uncomfortable. And I start to fall asleep, and then I kind of, you know, I was like, well, is it starting? No, I don't think so, you know, because they said you'd know, and this is just kind of uncomfortable. And I was like, well, this is really annoying. And no, I'm kidding. I said, well, Sherry, I said, let's do this. You're in a new house, and you're walking around in the dark, and something's telling me that this is not a good recipe. Because if you know anything about moving into someplace new, you forget where you put stuff, and you got stuff everywhere. And I'm like, why don't we get you down on the main level? Because we're upstairs. Why don't we get you down on the main level? And in that way, you can turn on all the lights, watch TV, whatever you want to do. And what I knew was, is I can finally sleep, and she'll quit bothering me. And so took her downstairs, got her a blanket, you know, and everything else. And about 6 o'clock in the morning, I've got my phone, you know, my cell phone laying up behind the bed there, and she calls me, and she says, hey, can you come down and just check this? And I'm like, sure. And so I come downstairs and, you know, and everything else, and she has written out on an envelope, okay, on the back of an envelope, all of these times that she felt like she was having contractions. And I said, what is this? And she goes, well, I'm having to time it by a clock that doesn't have a second hand on it, and I'm not sure if I'm getting this right. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I start looking at it was from like 1:30 in the morning, and it was like between 5 to 7 minutes apart in a lot of them. I'm going, Sherry, we're supposed to be calling the doctor at this point. She goes, well, I wasn't sure, and I didn't want to wake you up. And I'm going, what? And what? What? You know, all this planning, and you're ruining it, you know. And so I said, well, okay, I'll time it. Let me get one that's got a second hand and everything else. And sure enough, man, it was like 5 minutes. I'm like, what are we doing here? You know, I mean, we're supposed to be gone. She goes, well, it really didn't feel that bad. And, you know, and I'm like, okay. I was like, well, let's do it one more time because our doctor is going to ask us how many times I, you know, did it, right? Did it next time, and it was 12 minutes. And I'm like, well, if we call him now, we know what we're going to get. We wound up going to the doctor that morning, and they were like, or actually calling him and saying, you know, should we go? And they're like, no, don't go. If you go right now, they'll send you home. You know, you're not consistent enough. And finally, I had Sherry call him back, and I said, look, my parents are way away from here, okay? And if something's going on, we just need to know it. Now, we'd just seen the doctor the day before, okay? So we already knew kind of where we were in the process, or at least they felt like that we did. And so we get over there, and they said, you know, they hooked up all the little contraptions that shows if she's having contractions and that sort of thing. And they're like, you know, it's just barely blipping, you know? And Sherry goes, you know, oh, there's one. And they go, Sherry, when you have a contraction, it's going to go on this graph. And yours is going, yee, you know, just barely, you know. And she goes, well, it's right here. I mean, it's just in one spot. And so they moved it over there, and it was like, you know, just barely anything. And they were like, well, but let's do an exam and everything else. And they were like, oh, Sherry, you're at 7. You know, you're at 8. I could stretch you. And they're like, you got to go to the hospital now. And I'm like, what? I don't have my bag. I don't have my video camera. You know, we can't go right now. You know, stop this thing. You know, what do we got to do to stop? You know, they're like, you got to go now. And I'm going, this is not what I had envisioned with birth. This is not it. This isn't, you know, the franticness of leaving the home. This is going from the doctor's office, you know. So I'm calling my parents going, man, we're going. You got to get on the plane. And we're doing all this stuff, and we come to the turnoff because we were going to have Josiah at Fairview Hospital. Come to the turnoff, we go left, we go to our house. If we go right, we go to the hospital. And as I'm driving down through there, and guys, don't do this. It was in a moment of what I would call dumb spirituality. Okay, you ever over-spiritualize and you think, oh, this feels so wonderful. And it's really, you look back and you go, that was very stupid. We're at 140th Street there and 150th, right around in there. And if we go right, we go to Fairview. We go left, we just go to our house. Not that far, you know, just a mile over there. You know, we get to it and get the video camera, right? Because that's what we're after in our bags. And so I prayed right before we got to the exit. And here was my prayer. Lord, if we're to go to Fairview Hospital, have Sherry's water break, because it still hadn't broken yet. Really weird. And if not, we're going to go home and get the video camera, right? A prayer God would answer, right? God's going, what are you thinking? Get your wife to the hospital. Did you not hear the doctor? You know, but I made the left turn, kids. I went home, and I got that video camera, and we get over there. We get inside and everything else, and the nurse practitioner meets us there because the doctor can't be there because he's having dental surgery that day. Okay, yeah, what are the odds? And he can't touch Sherry because he's like, man, no way. You know, I'm still on medication. I can't do anything. Nurse practitioner's there. And she goes, what took you all so long? She said, I beat you to the hospital. I'm like, well, I had to get the video camera. You know, we made it and everything else. And, you know, Josiah came and everything else. But, man, around the birth, it was exciting. But something happened after that point. And that was we didn't keep it to ourselves. We didn't say, you know, let's not tell anything. Keep it quiet, and boy, won't we surprise them on Sunday, you know? I mean, walking in with a kid. Man, there's something about a birth that is to be shared. And your GPS, your good practical stuff for this morning is this. Births are meant to be shared. And as we look back to the Christmas story, it's not just a thing of giving gifts, and it's not just a thing of Jesus is kind of here and that sort of thing. This birth is meant to be shared in the same way that God shared his son. And did you notice what happened at the birth? What did God do? He went totally silent, right? He didn't tell anybody. What did he do? Man, he put up a big honking star and said, hey, for anybody that knows anything about astrology and all that other stuff, guess what, guys? Have I got news for you? And then we know that the wise men came later and they found Jesus. They knew enough to say, there's a new king on this planet, and we want to find him. And then with the shepherds, what did they do? Jesus just kind of, or God just kind of whispered in their ear, or, you know, send them a little note. No, man, he sends the angels, and wow, man, look at what's going on here. Because a birth is meant to be shared. As I look back upon, even with Gateway, when we were thinking and contemplating in our hearts and minds about launching this new thing called a church in downtown Cleveland, you know, the birth of that was meant to be shared. The church is meant to be shared. It's not mine, you know. I don't leave here one day and everybody says, oh, he takes all this stuff with him, you know, which we don't own anything except for a funnel cake fryer, you know, which is kind of cool. You know, our liquid assets are, you know, we sell the funnel cake fryer and a few pieces of sound equipment, and that's pretty much it, you know, because that's not even ours, all right? We borrowed that. The baptismal is not even ours. We don't really have anything, you know. I don't carry that stuff with me. But, you know, that is meant to be shared. The church is meant to be shared. It's meant for all of us to have a part and for all of us to get on board and all of us to envision and walk with it together. I will never forget when Scene Magazine contacted me and said, hey, we heard about you launching a church and we want to do a story. I knew enough about Scene to know this could be really not so great and it could be fine. Okay, but I knew this. I'm not turning anybody away. I'm not going to shove anybody away. I'm not going to say, you know, whatever. Plain Dealer had come out to do a story, a couple other TV stations. And even with all those, it makes you nervous because here's what you know. They're not going to get it right. It's not because they're trying to get it wrong. It's just that a church in downtown Cleveland it's going to be a very different kind of story. And unless they really, really spend some time on it, they're going to get times wrong, or, you know, what you're doing, who you are, get your name wrong, get what you're about, all those other things. So you're taking a huge risk. And so the writer came and you know, wrote the article and that sort of thing. And I remember there was parts of it that I was like going, we never talked about that. I don't even know what that is. You know, like, okay, whatever. But then there was one part of it that still sticks with me to this day. And I drug that article back out this last week and read over it again and was still going, how did, and okay, whatever. But I got to this one part that I was like, that was one of those things and one of those times where I know for a fact that God took over the pen of somebody and they got it right. And I thought, it's kind of tucked away and no one would really get it except for me. Because the irony of it was, I had just had a retreat with some of our leadership here. And one of the things that I talked to them about was, look, launching this church is going to be like climbing Everest. And we talked about all the different facets of climbing Mount Everest. And the question I had was, is, does anybody know about anything about climbing Mount Everest? A few people, yeah. I was like, okay, what do you have to have? And of course, we went down the line, you know, food, and, you know, you got to have this, and you got to make sure that you train, you know, and all the way through that. But I said, well, there's a critical component that everybody has to know in climbing Mount Everest. Everybody has to have this. You never climb Everest alone. You climb Everest with a team. And tucked away in that report and in that Scene magazine article is a little sentence that said this. It said, this is his evangelical Everest. And I was like, you don't understand how right you are, my friend. And the thing is while it sounds like mine, I knew from reading that, you don't climb Everest alone. See, the church is meant to be shared. It's the body of Christ. It's all of us working together to do something that is much bigger than what we can ever do by ourselves. See, a lot of us do some good things individually, but you can never do what you can do with others. It's absolutely impossible. Those of you who have ever gone out to lift something or move something, here's what you know. If one of you can lift 200 pounds and the other one can lift 200 pounds, the total of what you can lift is not 400. It's more than that. See, God put it into practice in the physical laws so that we would understand the spiritual side of it, and that is this, that you can always do more together than what you can do separately. And when it comes to a church and the birth of that church and understanding that, what we have to come to grips with is this, that birth of that church is meant to be shared. It's never isolated. That goes for you as well. It's not what you can just get out of it, but what you get out of it so that you can give. Some of you have some incredible stories of how God has done some things in your life, and that needs to be shared. Some of you have come to Christ, and you've experienced this new birth in Christ, and that's meant to be shared. See, the Christian life was never meant to do alone. You won't find one single scripture, Old Testament or New Testament, where it's all about you. You need to learn, yes, but you learn not just for the benefit of yourself, but for others as well. When I look back to the birth of Josiah, and I look at him now at, you know, age 2 and, you know, talking up a storm and everything else, he can tell you the names of everybody in the band and what instruments that they play. I sent a message to the guys. It was probably 4 or 5 months ago that he started doing that. I said, don't ever think for a second that you don't have an impact. Because already at this age, there's kids that maybe they can't talk it, but they know who people are at church. They know what they do. You're already having an impact. While Josiah was with my parents, and they would ask him, who plays drums at church? Kyle's. Kyle is plural. I don't know why, but Kyle's, you know. And I would say, where does Kyle work? For the Browns. He doesn't really know who the Browns are. You know, he knows I kind of watch them on TV and that sort of thing. What does Steve do? Plays guitar. What does Jeremy do? Guitar. Now then, where's Justin? He's got you down now. He knows Justin plays drums. Yeah. Justin, is Justin going to be there? Drums. Don't ever think for a minute that you don't matter. Don't ever think that they're not watching, because they are. They're taking it all in. While they may not be able to verbally speak it back to you, okay, Josiah can do a few things like that. Here's what I know. There's more going on up here than what he can even say even at this point. He knows who all those people are and what their roles are and what they do. And he's going to piece it together probably in the next year and the year after that, the importance of all those things. That it's not just playing an instrument. It's leading us in worship. It's leading us to worship this Jesus that came as the Son of God. See, it's meant to be shared. The music this morning, it's meant to be shared. All of those things. And in your life, God's given you time, talent, and treasure for it to be shared. I know that as I've watched here, one of the funny things, I know Jason and Carrie will agree with this. When we were first starting the church, we were having to buy a bunch of stuff, you know, and it was just a few of us, and we were having to purchase some things, and the conversation came up, what do we do with childcare because we don't have any, okay? But what are we going to do? And we took this risk of we're going to have this area in the cabaret, even though we have no kids, none. Zero. And we have this area, we'll call it the Kids Cabaret, and maybe someone will show up. But we really didn't spend much time on it because we're like, we don't think anybody will show up with kids. If you came this morning, you're like, dude, we got some kids, you know? But we made this leap of faith to buy a pager system at that time with no kids. The pager's for the parents so that if there's a problem back there, we just page them. We don't have to come in here and go, are you the parent of so-and-so? And hey, you know, we've got a problem back here or whatever. And we purchased that pager system, and I look back at that, and I go, that was the dumbest expense we could have ever have tried to justify. Somebody said, come on, why did you spend, I don't remember what it was, $300 or $400, something like that. Why did you spend it on that? That's crazy. You know, put it over here. I don't know. We just saw other churches had a kids area and thought, we might need to have a kids area one day. Well, now then we're going, whew, glad we did that. But at the time, it was very foolish. Time it was weird. Now we got this group on the east side that all they do is have babies now. Okay, I mean, it's if you join that group, I'm just warning you. I'm telling you what's going to happen. But we got all these babies now, and you know what I know about all those little kids. And I think the moms and dads would agree with this. That's meant to be shared. Now I don't know if we're going to hand them over to you. Except for when they're going nuts, okay? You can have them then. If you want them, here, you know, they're throwing one of their tantrums. Have them. But here's what I know as a parent. I want that child around me, and I want to shape that child, and I want, you know, but I want that child to be shared. I want some of you who have incredible talents and gifts and qualities and character and all that, man, I want them to be a part of your life. I don't want to silo my kid off. I want them to be shared. And I think most parents would say, if not all, yeah, I want that too. I want this sharing going on. When we look back to Jesus and his birth, what I love about this is the last verse there that we read said, nothing is impossible with God. See, over this last year, we also did another crazy thing, and that was we launched a new church on the west side of Cleveland, a birth again. Very different from us, but very intertwined. That church is completely autonomous. In other words, they run their own stuff. Okay, they decide what they're going to preach and teach on and that sort of thing. Okay, we don't send them a list of, hey, do this. But they're completely autonomous, but we're completely cooperative. As far as I know, it's the only one of its kind in the United States. Now, we've been looking around trying to find anybody else that's doing what we're doing. We haven't found that. We found people who are campuses. In other words, I'm still the pastor, and our, you know, leaders still lead that group, okay? There's campus stuff. all right? Nothing wrong with that. We may do that one day, who knows? But we haven't found anything that you still maintain this high level of relationship, but yet highly autonomous. I want to show you by way of video what happened just a few weeks ago, and you're going to hear the testimonies of those people on this video for Gateway West and their baptismal services that happened on, I think it was November 29th, if I'm not mistaken. I think it's got it up on the screen as well. So let's watch that just for a couple minutes, and you'll see what you guys helped birth. That birth is meant to be shared. If that doesn't get you excited, I don't know what will. You need to be slapped, okay? I mean, anytime you hear that kind of life change, the gentleman that spoke there at the end is Dan's next-door neighbor that he's known for quite some time, and they, get this, help launch the church as people who didn't know Christ. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you can do that. You say, is that legal? Is that okay? Is Jesus all right with that? Yes, he is, okay? It's all right, you know? And what they found was, man, this is what we've been looking for. Totally revolutionized him. Here's what's also happening. His brother-in-law has now prayed to receive Christ 2 weeks ago and will be baptized on January the 3rd. And I know that yesterday Dan was speaking to the wife of Rick about her relationship because she's interested in being baptized. You see what God does through birth? That is what God is about. And it's what we're going to be about. And it's what we've been about. It's what will happen as we continue to move forward. Let me tell you what else has happened. Because of us giving and because of us serving and you all donating time and talent and treasure and all of those things, because a church like that has been launched, last Sunday they had 92 people there. Pretty impressive for an area that's closing down churches. Massive ones being shut down. And there they are opening up right in the middle of a public school, R.G. Jones School there on 150th Street, right in the heart of the west side of Cleveland. And I hope it encourages you. I hope you say, you know something, we're gaining traction. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Absolutely. And what's beginning to happen is people are being impacted, so much so that this last Thursday night, they had their first worship service over at Laura's home, which is for single moms who are homeless. Okay, they're trying to really right their lives. And Michael Loomis went over there and led worship, and Dan did the speaking. And Michael can tell you all about it. If you want to go with him the next time, find Michael, okay? It'll be in another month. Is that? Okay, one Thursday each month, but find Michael probably in 3 or 4 weeks, somewhere around there. Had a great time. They had three ladies as of last Thursday after that one service that signed up to be picked up this morning to be taken to worship service at Gateway West. Now, Scripture is very clear. True religion is found in serving orphans, widows, those types of people. Do you think God is honored by that? Absolutely. And you know why? Because you guys were faithful and crazy enough to say, you know, I think we can try to pull this off. I think we can try to figure out a way for this thing to happen. And you know something, already three of them. Let me tell you what's going to happen. I will be shocked if next time there's not more. Because I think they're going to find a very loving family that they never knew existed. And people that really deeply care about them and want to see them do well and want to see their kids raised up in a good environment and have a shot at life. And I hope that warms your heart, that as you get around this Christmas season to understand this, every one of you who have given through Gateway, whether time, talent, and treasure, every one of you need to understand that it's because of you that's happening. It's because of you. If you ever thought, do I matter? Do I really do anything? Do it? Every time you give, every time you serve, all of those things are now culminating where traction is happening and real lives are being changed. We saw it on display this morning, right here. Real lives are being changed. Here's what you need to understand, and this is what we'll close with this morning. birth is meant to be shared. The spiritual birth, certainly the physical birth, but that spiritual birth of what's happening with Gateway West, that's meant to be shared with you guys. So you get to look back and go, wow, who would have thought that anything would really come about? Who would have thought that? And now that all of a sudden they're impacting these single moms who are homeless, we would have never have dreamed that those first couple of months when we were wondering, is anybody going to show up at this place downtown? We would have never seen that one coming. We were just hoping we could kind of tread water for, you know, a little while, and then if we sank, maybe no one knew about us, and, you know, we closed doors where nobody knew, you know, and kind of just sink away into obscurity. Because you guys are faithful, you are impacting lives that are in desperate need of hope. And because that is happening, you are sharing in birth. For nothing is impossible with God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes this morning. Father, we come before you now, and Lord, you're very clear in your word that we are co-laborers with you. But without you, we can do nothing. And so, Father, while we know this morning that our effort was needed, our treasure was needed, our time was needed, our talent was needed, that without you, we couldn't have done anything down here. Without you, we couldn't have certainly launched another church. Without you, we wouldn't have had this impact for these single moms who are in desperate need of hope and help. Or for these families on the west side of Cleveland that have now found you and are telling other people because they've realized birth is meant to be shared. Lord, I pray that we realize that you have called us to be co-laborers with you, to join with you in what you're doing in Cleveland. And Lord, I thank you that you are able to give us spiritual traction. That while we slip and slide a lot and we wonder how are we going to do this and how are we going to pay for that and all those other things, that you just constantly give us just this incredible sense and a picture every once in a while where you show us that what we did mattered. And so, Lord, I pray for anyone in this room this morning that might wonder, do I really matter? Do I make a difference? That they would realize because I've been a part of Gateway, or maybe this is their first morning here, that they can make a difference. And maybe we don't sometimes see it going on, Lord, and we don't see all the things happening, and all of a sudden, you move, and we go, wow, look at what you're doing. Lord, with all these little babies that are running around here, look at what you're doing. Those births are meant to be shared. Lord, for the lives changed in this very room, those births are meant to be shared. And Lord, for the births that are happening through West and all the ministries that they're doing there and other great churches throughout Cleveland, that is meant to be shared. But Father, may we come back and may we be the type of people who are quick to share of your birth. And so, God, we yield our lives to you as we approach your Christmas day, not ours. We just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.